Hello and welcome to the Face of Pro-Life. Today I'm speaking with the president of the Connecticut Right to Life Corporation, Bill O'Brien. Thank you for joining us today, Bill.
Glad to join you again.
As we are taping this, it's exactly 1 week until election night, 2008, and there's a lot riding on this election. But by the time our viewers see this, they will know who is our new president. This will only be the beginning of our battle. We really have some work to do because no matter what, I think we're probably going to have a Democratic Congress, and they have some tricks up their sleeve. Could you give us a little bit of what they have in mind for the next Congress?
Right. Well, this past year, and actually it goes back quite a long time, back in the 90s, but there's been a bill called the Freedom of Choice Act, and we expect that this will come up in the next Congress, as it has in this Congress. It has a number of co-sponsors in the Senate and in the House of Representatives in Washington, and what they want to do is essentially wipe out all the gains that pro-life has made over the last three decades. The Freedom of Choice Act essentially would, it sort of codifies Roe v. Wade and Doe versus Bolton, the two landmark cases from 1973. And, it would wipe out all laws passed on the federal level as well as a state or local level by any government agency whatsoever.
So give us an example of some of those types of laws.
Okay, many states, not Connecticut, but many states have a parental involvement law concerning abortion. In other words, for a minor girl to get an abortion, she would have to either get her parents' consent or at least notify them. And all those laws would be stricken from the books completely. Simply regulation of health and safety regulations of abortion clinics would be struck down.
I don't think people understand that in many states, abortion clinics are not regulated like a vet clinic or even a dental clinic. And could you explain some states actually have laws that have imposed regulations upon abortion clinics?
Right. I mean, there are the parental notification laws. Some states have a right to know law, that the woman has a right to know what kind of complications there might be from an abortion, whether the physical things, psychological or emotional, whatever, that higher increased risk of depression, of suicide.
That are all statistically and scientifically shown.
Right. Mm-hmm. Over 25 studies have shown increased risk of breast cancer. Of course, some women die from abortion. Mm-hmm. One happened up in Cape Cod just last year.
Yeah.
And there's many others that happen, whether it's from a regular suction abortion or from the new RU486. There's at least six or eight cases of women that died from that. But the women aren't told about these, and they don't even keep statistics. At least in Connecticut, they don't release any statistics on any kind of complications.
And I think that's important because if you go in for any kind of minor surgery, if an anesthesiologist or the physician will sit down with you and say, this is the list of complications, and they range from, migraine headache to, death. And even if it's a minuscule chance, but for abortions, they're not required to do so.
Right. Well, I mean, just watching TV commercials during dinner, every prescription drug
right.
out there, after they tell you how good it is, then they spend half a minute, half the commercial telling you all the complications. Well, they don't tell you that with an abortion. They tell you it's a blob of tissue. Well, it's not a blob of tissue. It's a living human being. That's a scientific fact.
Mm-hmm.
And women are not told.
Yeah. And some states have already passed laws, too, that require the physician to do an ultrasound and then show the women the ultrasound. And I think that's important, too, because, some abortionists don't do ultrasounds, and they therefore don't know the age of the baby. And that is really dangerous for the woman as well, especially when it comes mm-hmm. to RU46, which was one of the regulations they were supposed to one of the safety measures that they were supposed to use when using RU-486, but they've skirted that issue mm-hmm. altogether.
Right, and then you know some states have a waiting period, with 24 hours or 48 hours, just to, for the
Think
woman
it
to
over.
Give it some thought, because she may not have given it some thought mm-hmm. or not known any of the facts beforehand. So there's waiting periods, and then you get into funding. Connecticut funds abortions. You know, Connecticut also, the law in Connecticut's books was actually written by, you know, the pro-abortion people. But it says that you have, that in Connecticut at least, an abortion has to be done by a physician. Under this Freedom of Choice Act, that would be struck down too. Even what they wrote themselves, they wouldn't have to be done by a physician anymore.
Oh, and they're worried about back alley abortions. Well,
right.
They're not going to be back alley abortions. They'll be right in the storefront, and they'll be more dangerous than a back alley abortion.
That's right. And and then I mentioned funding in Connecticut. Connecticut pays for Medicaid abortions. Many states have a ban on funding. The federal government has a ban on funding, but Connecticut does it anyway. But this Freedom of Choice Act would strike down the federal ban mm-hmm. on funding. So it would go beyond. The courts have never said you have a right to an abortion. They say you have a right to privacy. You have a fundamental right to privacy. And because of that, you can have an abortion. But now what they want to write in here is that you have basically a fundamental right to an abortion.
And all 9 months for any reason.
Right, which it is now
under
Roe v. Wade. But here they're writing it into law rather than just simply Roe v. Wade.
Wow. So this is something that if we have a President McCain, he could veto, but they might have a veto-proof majority.
Possibly, but they would have to override it with 2/3 in both houses,
true,
and
that's true.
They may not have that.
But if we do have a President Obama, this was one of the things that he promised up front. This would be the first thing he would sign into law was the FOCA, and he swore that to Planned Parenthood, and so that is really scary if we are now looking at President-elect Obama.
That's right. You know, it's quite a step. As I said, we've made tremendous strides, not so much in Connecticut, which is a very pro-abortion state, but in many legislatures across the country, they really have, gone quite a distance. And, you know, all that would be for naught if this is passed.
Especially then, also we will know now whether or not California, which will have a... a referendum on their election day regarding parental notification. You know, these people all spent, you know, time and effort to go to the polls and vote for parental notification, but that could be wiped clean in one fell swoop come January if we have a President Obama and
and a pro-abortion Congress.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's dangerous. And right here in Connecticut, some of our legislators, I've got the list of these co-sponsors of the Freedom of Choice Act. Senator Lieberman is one of the co-sponsors, along with Senator Obama. Dodd is not yet,
wow.
Which is interesting.
Hopeful.
And hopeful. I don't know if it's hopeful or not. He hasn't gotten around to it, or I don't know that he's opposed to it, but at least he's not on board yet. As far as some of the congressmen, Representative Rosa DeLauro from the 3rd District, Representative Shays from the 4th, and Congressman Murphy from the 5th are all co-signers of this. The Larson from the 1st and Courtney in the 2nd are not co-signers yet, and hopefully they won't be, but... Both of them have if you look at National Right to Life's legislative scorecard, they both have perfect scores,
on pro-abortion.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know that they necessarily have to be co-sponsors, but no, Lord knows that they'll probably be voting for it.
Probably if they're still in the legislature.
If they're still in the legislature,
we can only
hope.
Yeah, we can't see into the future or back at this point.
You know, a lot of people, especially like the representatives, even, we were talking to some people that were running for U.S. representative, and they say, well, you know, pro-life, pro-choice, it really doesn't matter. We don't really get presented, you know, with these issues. You know, there are other issues that are more important. But this is one indication of a very, very important issue. And, you know, I'm hoping, you know, people take these things in consideration, you know, when voting for their representatives. You know, it's not just the president that has to be pro-life. And it's not just the U.S. representatives. We have to start fostering, you know, pro-life politicians from the state legislators, because those are the ones that end up moving mm-hmm. into the, you know, federal legislation. So it's really important, whether it be, you know, for mayor, for town council, for, you know, any politician, that they, you know, that their stance on life.
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of people, they just simply say, well, abortion doesn't concern me. You know, but if you're a nurse or a pharmacist or any healthcare worker whatsoever, again, this Freedom of Choice Act, you know, in some states, you know, they have a either have passed or are considering, you know, a freedom of conscience law that says that, you know, if you don't agree with abortion, you know, the other side says, well, if you don't like abortion, don't have one.
Right.
Well, but they're trying to force people to do them yeah. if you're a healthcare worker, or to participate somehow in the whole process. And, you know, this would wipe out any chance that you could have a conscience clause in the law, so you could opt out of an abortion if you're a medical student or if you're a doctor or a nurse or whatever.
And that's really important for people to understand too, because there are a lack of abortionists. You know, they're always crying that there's not enough people doing abortions. Well, it's a horrendous job. Nobody really wants to be an abortionist, and so they're trying to force people or encourage them to be abortionists. And I know Mayor Bloomberg, and I don't know if Giuliani before him, but they were forcing people to, you know, if they're going through their OBGYN rotations as physicians, that they have to perform abortions. Because, you know, once you do one or two, you know, it's horrendous, but, you know, people can eventually get used to it. Mm-hmm. But you're saying that, you know, people can't opt, and they couldn't opt out by conscience clause, if they, you know, felt that it was just totally against their belief system.
Right. So it's, you know, this Freedom of Choice Act, I mean, essentially it's overriding the freedom of religion that
so
we have.
It's not really freedom of choice.
Right.
Because if you're against it, you have no choice. So it's really freedom for abortion.
Right. And you'll be forced to pay for abortions, which we are in Connecticut now, but people nationwide would be forced to. Right now, there's the Hyde Amendment, which prohibits the government from paying for almost all abortions. And then you have similar things applying to abortions in the paying for abortions in the military on Indian reservations or this District of Columbia, mm-hmm. you know, all those laws would be struck down. And as well as, you know, probably even the Mexico City policy, which prevents funds from going to international groups that promote abortion.
And it's not just promoting abortion, it's promoting abortion in governments that take a stand against abortion. I mean, they're really trying to force abortion on people who, you know, prohibit abortion in their country because they don't believe that it's right. So it is very overreaching, and it's really important, you know, who our representatives and senators are.
You know, and once they're elected, and at this point they are, you know, even though they are elected, you know, they've still got to listen to you, because they're going to, you know, we talk about the 24 hour election or TV cycle, but you got the 2-year election cycle.
Yeah.
So as soon as they're elected, they start looking at the next election. And, you know, if we can get some bills up there in Hartford or in Washington and force them to take a position on it, to take a pro-life position, you know, we can start hammering away at them right away.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it is really important to keep informed of what's going on, and obviously know where your politicians stand, so that they can, you know, answer to you and make sure your friends and family know where they stand.
All right. Senator Dodd, he's not on as a co-signer yet, but he's running up. He's up for election in 2 years, so he's starting to raise money right now.
Wow.
You know, for 2 years from now.
Well, he got a sweetheart deal on his house. So.
Yeah. That would give him a leg up right away. So he's going to have a, he may have a tough election because of his friendship with Fannie and Freddie. So we'll see where he comes down on the Freedom of Choice Act.
Yeah, do you think that will really have an effect in Connecticut? Because it doesn't seem that people don't wake up. The you know, the pro-life movement in Connecticut, it's really an elephant to move.
Yeah, well, you know, it starts at the grassroots. You know, people basically have to educate themselves. I mean, the information is out there. National Right to Life, right on their website. They've got everybody's vote on every pro-life issue for years, I guess. Mm-hmm. And you know, a write-up on all the laws that have been passed. And there's been a lot of laws passed under the Bush administration. You know, you really got to give them credit. Protection of infants born alive was passed under him. You know, the fetal homicide law, or the Unborn Victims of Violence Act, was passed. So, in a non-abortion situation, unborn child would be protected if some aggressor attacks a pregnant woman,
or at least considered a human, and the person would be prosecuted as such. You know, that was the true victim rather than a blob of tissue. Mm-hmm. When you say Born Alive Victims Act, now, would that, some of those national laws, would that be affected by FOCA?
Yeah, the law, I've got a copy of both the Senate version and the House version. The only difference is really, the co-signers listed. But the Section 6, which is the last section, this act applies to every federal, state, and local statute, ordinance, regulation, administrative order, decision, policy, practice, or other action enacted, adopted, or implemented before, on, or after the date of the enactment of this act.
Wow.
So it erases
everything. And that's really significant, too, because hardly anybody voted against the Born Alive Victims Act. I mean, that was almost a unanimous decision that, you know, if a baby is, you know, if a woman is having an abortion, the baby comes out and is actually alive, then the federal law says you need to treat that baby as a premature infant and, you know, treat the baby, you know, keep the baby alive.
If you can.
Whereas we know where Senator Obama, hopefully not Senator or President-elect Obama, stands on that.
Not a single senator in the U.S. Senate voted against that bill. Senator Obama was not a U.S. senator at the time. He was in the Illinois legislature, and he had four opportunities to vote to protect born alive children.
And he chose not to.
He voted against it.
Yeah, and it was his committee that he was in charge of. And he would not allow it to get out of the committee the last time, so that it basically died. So the babies die.
Right.
And his whole rationale, you know, not in front of, you know, the TV media, but his whole rationale in friendly quarters was that the woman chose to have the abortion. If the baby's alive, then you're forcing that woman and the doctor to reconsider their choice. And, you know, Roe v. Wade must be protected at all costs, pretty much. You know, that is his rationale. You know, she wanted an abortion, doggone it, she's going to get an abortion. And, I mean, that is how pro-abortion he is. I mean, he's by far the most pro-abortion candidate for president we've ever had.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And if he hasn't been elected president, you know, he's still in the U.S. Senate.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's still a co-signer of the Freedom of Choice Act, so... You know, he's still going to be supporting it wherever he's at this point.
Ugh, that is so scary.
You know, also, the Partial Birth Abortion Act, you know, was passed by Congress a few years ago and, of course, was immediately challenged by Planned Parenthood and an abortionist from Nebraska, Carhart. But it went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, we're fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
But this would strike that down.
Oh, my God.
And just because the Supreme Court says you can have it, this would say...
We can
have it, but we're going to do away with it.
Wow. So a baby who is mostly born, except for his head, the doctor would ensure that the baby is born dead by poking a hole in the back of his neck and sucking out his brains.
Right.
To make sure that they deliver a dead baby. I mean, this is just chilling. It is chilling that a country as civilized as us, as rich as us, would allow this to go on, you know, in our neighborhoods, mm-hmm. literally in our neighborhoods.
Well, you know, after we're approaching 50 million abortions since Roe v. Wade, and I mean, you know, that's an awful lot of lives, and people, you know, live right down the street from an abortion clinic. They either don't know it's there, or they see it, they go by, and they just don't want to know.
Yeah. I know we're just now finishing up the 40 Days for Life, which will end 2 days before the election. And the abortion clinic in Norwich itself is just in a regular office building. So there's lots of other doctors and different lawyers, you know, just different offices within that building. And so many people pass by and say, you know, why are you protesting outside of this building or praying outside of this building? And we'll say, well, because there's an abortion clinic in there. And so many people are like, what? They have no idea that babies are dying in their building, in their neighborhood. And it's literally in a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happening all over the country. So I think people really need to wake up and take a stand for life. I know we've tried for years on the show for people to wake up, but it's no different than what went on in Germany, except that it's five times worse.
Right. And, I mean, we talk about the abortion clinics, but a lot of abortions are done in doctor's offices, and more are being done at home.
Yeah.
And, you know, you take this RU486, and, you know, you can deliver at home. So it could be your neighbor.
Yeah.
Aborting. You know, it's getting easier in that sense that they have more and more medical abortions as opposed to a surgical abortion where you have to go to a clinic. But the medical abortion, you just take a couple pills and you kill somebody.
Yeah. And people think that that might be safer, but it really isn't. There's been a lot of women who end up with a deadly bacterial infection from the RU46. It's a cocktail. It's two different drugs. The one drug basically starves the baby to death, and then the second drug causes the contraction, so the woman will expel the dead baby. But there's been especially if the second drug doesn't work, you have a dead baby inside of you that can cause infection.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also known that the second drug, even if it does work, does dilate your blood vessels and opens you up to more susceptibility to infection. So it's really a horrible, horrible drug, and it's the first time that the FDA has pretty much approved anything that causes death. And they did it on the fast track
mm-hmm.
in the Clinton administration. You know, before he was, you know, left office, they fast tracked it. Like, the only fast-track cancer drugs are AIDS drugs.
You know, at one time here in Connecticut, I'm sure most people have no idea how many abortions are done in Connecticut, but up till a couple of years ago, several years ago, back in the early 90s, it was over 20,000 abortions
wow.
a year in Connecticut.
Wow.
That number dropped down to, in the early 2000s, to around 12,000 for about 3 years. It was pretty level. And then in the last year it's been reported, which is 2007, the number jumped up to 14,000. And that whole addition of 2,000 abortions was almost all medical abortions, RU486. So, it's not only making the number of abortions
increase,
but I mean, it is increasing it just because it's another kind of abortion.
And people, like I said, people think it's safer, but it really isn't.
Right. And, you know, it's not substituting for some other kind.
Right.
For some reason, you know, people that may not have gotten the other kind of abortion are now using this.
Right, right. They might think that it's not as invasive, or it's not as, you know, active, you know, mm-hmm. as like sucking the baby out with a vacuum. But, it's equally as horrible, obviously, to the baby, because the baby doesn't end up mm-hmm. being alive.
It can be traumatic for the woman, too.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, if a woman miscarries, I mean, you know, that can happen suddenly, and, you know, she may see her child.
Yeah,
And there's nothing she can do about it. But in this case, she may see her child expelled from her body and know that she did it.
Yeah.
And that's the only time that she's going to see her child, and it's dead because of what she did.
And I can personally tell you, I mean, I remember when they were just trying to bring RU486 to the United States, I was at a college setting, and girls were talking about it, and there was a nurse saying, you know, oh, it's just going to be just a bad period, you know, it's no big deal. And I hadn't, at that point, I just remember later on when I had a miscarriage, you know, that I wasn't very far along. But if it's anything like that, I mean, it was way, way worse than having a baby without drugs. I'm telling you, it was horrible. And it wasn't the psychological that was as bad as the pain. It was just horrible pain. So if they put women through that type of pain, it's like your body is rejecting, you know, this. I can't imagine the trauma that the woman would have to go through. I can't imagine them, you know, passing this drug, this horrible thing on women. And it's interesting because the same company that developed RU486 was the company that developed the chemicals that killed the Jews in Germany.
Mm-hmm. The apple doesn't drop far from the tree.
No, no. I mean, it's a pesticide. It really is. It's killing a life.
Right, you know, they keep coming up with new methods, and but they're all doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you got Planned Parenthood, their involvement in it. I mean, just today, there was a court, Americans United for Life in Chicago. They're a pro-life legal group. They went into court because we're talking about Freedom of Choice Act possibly wiping out all these laws. Ohio, for one state, has a parental notification law. But there was some guy, I think he was in his 20s, who got a minor girl, teenager, pregnant. And then he brought her into the clinic, and I believe it was a Planned Parenthood clinic.
It was.
And he posed as a family member, an adult family member, and Planned Parenthood apparently didn't care, didn't ask for any proof. You know, they basically got around the state law. Now the family is suing
the girl's parents.
Right, the girl's parents are suing. For them essentially evading the state law. So yes, many states have parental notification involvement laws on the books, but if Planned Parenthood or NARAL and the abortion clinics generally try to evade them and essentially allow statutory rape to mm-hmm. take place, without reporting it to the authorities, essentially they were evading two laws.
Right, right.
The parental notification law and the statutory rape law, because they're mandated reporters to report that to the state, and they're letting statutory rape to continue. There's getting the laws on the books, and there's the enforcement.
Yeah, and I know Connecticut had the similar situation where a man had gotten a teenager pregnant three times and took her for abortions, and no questions asked. You know, of course we don't have parental notification, but we still do have statutory rape laws.
Well, I think the case you're referring to, though, the mother knew, actually she took the girl for those abortions, but it was still statutory rape.
Child
and,
abuse.
And that's sexual child abuse.
Yeah.
So again, you can't, in some cases, just beyond your comprehension. But then there was the other case in Connecticut where, an older guy, had a girl hidden in his house for a year. And Planned Parenthood, again, did the abortion.
And she was being sought after. She
right, and Connecticut doesn't have parental notification, but we do have statutory rape
right.
laws.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We hope that when you view this, we have President-elect McCain. But if we don't, we have a lot of work to do. Actually, either way, we have a lot to work to do. And we hope that you keep informed on the issues And when you look in the mirror the next time, that you realize you are the face of pro-life. Join us again next time.